Just to think we'll never die brings a teardrop to our eyes. And by His blood we've done no wrong. It brings an everlasting song. Oh God, oh, we worship You. Oh God,
I once was lost. Why is this so important? If just the knowledge of Christ was enough, then Calvary was the tragedy of all tragedies. But there had to be a death, there had to be a burial, and there had to be a resurrection. And 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Moreover, brethren," verse number 1, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." And so we're saved by the gospel. Well, what's the gospel? The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So how are we saved? We're saved by our own death, which is a repentance. I'm not going to live the way I used to live. A burial, which is in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We're buried with him in baptism. And we too have a resurrection when we're filled with his spirit. And what bothers me is there's so many who will say, well, all that isn't necessary today. Well, then you're saying Calvary wasn't necessary. I just read this morning where Schuller died, who had the Crystal Cathedral out in California, $20 million back in the 80s, and prisons were there, and the place was just packed. But his message was, love God, and he'll love you, and you don't have to do a thing about it. And today it's in bankruptcy. Nobody goes there. But thank God for the church that has power. It's not just a little patty cake on a Sunday morning. It's about, hey, listen, I want to be saved by the whole gospel, the whole truth, and nothing else but the truth. And that's why we come to an altar, because we know that that same God is here today and can take care of all of our situations. But of course, he's given us a free will to do whatever we want. We can walk out of here not changed or even concerned about what God wants for our lives. And that's fine, but one day we'll stand before God in judgment. All of the wicked, but also the saints. One day, he's going to say, what did you do when you had an opportunity? Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing one more song. Glory to God.
Darkness, where everything is unknown, I face the power of sin on my own. I did not know of a place I could go, where I could find a way to He said that I could come into his presence without fear, into the holy place where his mercy into the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. He said his grace would cover me, his blood will flow freely, it will provide the healing. I'm running to the mercy seat. Are you living? Her hope has not been.
Hope has not been.
Lost in a curse of a lifetime of sin. Oh, they never come true. I know where there's a place of mercy for you. He said that you could come into his presence without fear.
Open a fear.
Into the holy place.
Oh, where his mercy heaven's
near. Oh, I'm running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. He said his grace would cover me, his blood will flow freely, it will provide the healing. I'm running to the mercy seat.
Oh,
I'm running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. He said his grace would cover me.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Not too many want to linger at the cross. Amen. You may be seated. We'd like our special to come.
You never change. You are the God you say. When I'm afraid, you come and still my beating heart. You stay the same. When hope is just a distant thought, you take my pain and you lead me to the cross. What love is this? You gave your life for me and made a way for me upon your hand and hold the truth that when I can't, you always can. And I'm standing here beneath the shadow of the cross, and I'm overwhelmed that I keep finding open arms. What a love is this that you give
Thank you, Jesus. It was not the nails that kept him on the cross. It was the love they have for you and me, even in the future. If I was the only one that would ever live for him, he still would have died. He could have called 10,000 angels. And I wonder if they didn't beg him. Let me execute justice right now for those wicked who would put you to death. Yet there are those who put him to death every day by saying, I don't care about you, I care about me. Thank you for being here. Would you stand with me? I'm looking at 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. In verse number 1, he says, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. What God did for you. Amen. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Looking for truth, looking for the real thing. Don't look for an orator or somebody who can put together a program. Look for a demonstration of the Spirit of God. If the demonstration isn't there, because in the end times there'll be a form of godliness, but people will deny the power of God, the gifts of the Spirit, healing. Verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes or the rulers of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You'll notice it doesn't say when we get to heaven, but right now. Miraculous. I love what Brother Smith said Wednesday night. He said, remember the time when Jesus' shadow passed over the sick and they were healed? No, because it never happened. But Peter's shadow, greater works than these will you do. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Lord, we ask your blessing on the word. We're grateful for this day. We're grateful for what you've done at Calvary. Let more people understand the necessity of it, oh God, and allow us to lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This week represents the worst week of the life of Christ here on earth. What possible good could come out of a week of accusations, trial, beatings, and a horrible death on the cross? What good could come out of that if it wasn't necessary for us to follow the same course? How could people welcome Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday with palm branches and singing Hosanna in the highest, blessed be the name of the Lord, and then just a few days later be yelling, crucify him. Crucify him. 1 Corinthians 2 and 8 says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory or the supreme in authority. We're not talking about the Son of God. We're talking about God in the flesh. There's an old story as as the Trinitarian illustrates, that a man who is in charge of a trestle, a bridge over a large river, and of course his son came to work with him. He was playing on the trestle, but here comes a passenger train, and if he closes the gate, he's going to kill his son, but he'll save all the people. So he decided he's going to close the gate. His son dies, but the people are saved. Well, there's a whole lot of wrong with that, because it wasn't just the Son of God, it was God in the flesh that was crucified. The word princes here means the rulers of this world. You see, we all got victory at Calvary. Even the devil didn't understand that by putting him on the cross, it gives us victory. Joseph said his brothers meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen. Sometimes we go through some things, but then God's saying, you know what? This is good for you. Those who have been sick and miraculously healed or pulled out of a horrible divorce or situation, and then they see a Savior who delivers them, and their life becomes more committed to God than ever before. Adolf Hitler attempted to exterminate the Jews in 1944, 1945. We are in Dachau, Germany, and I wish I had never gone to that museum to see the depravity, the horrible things that happened to the Jews. Mountains of eyeglasses and teeth and pictures of young children going to the gas chambers, and it was just absolutely horrible. But 3 years after Hitler committed suicide, like Judas committed suicide, the state of Israel was formed. Yeah. Would the state of Israel, would Israel be a nation today had it not been for what Hitler had done? His attack against the Jews caused them to have victory like perhaps never could. Had the enemies of the cross known what was happening at Calvary, would they have ever crucified him? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your glory? We got the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever we are attacked, God always transforms it into good somehow. Oh, let's kill all the babies. And so Moses is in the River Nile. But as a result of all of that, he becomes the greatest leader of Israel out of captivity. Yesterday, 147 Christians were killed in Kenya. They said, are you Christian? You're dead. Are you Muslim? Stand over here. We're living in a time like we have never lived before. We've got a country now who is not backing Israel like we have always backed Israel, but it lines up exactly with what the Word of God says, and our God is coming soon. Right. Folks, we're about to enter into revival. 9/11 brought revival to the church. It wasn't our programs, it wasn't our pamphlets, but it was a fear of God that caused revival. This is no time to hang our heads low. It's a time to get ready for God to come back. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:9 doesn't talk about heaven. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. This scripture is given right after talking about the crucifixion. Right after the crucifixion, God says, okay, here. You're going to see things and you're going to hear things. You're going to experience things like you have never experienced before the cross. And this church has seen it. We've seen it all. We've seen people raised from the dead, healed of cancers, healed of heart attack, miraculous things happening over and over again because of the crucifixion of not only Jesus Christ, but the crucifixion of each and every one of us. We've laid down our life for him, and as a result, now he opens a door for us. If you want to be a part-time Christian, you can, but you don't get full-time benefits. When we were attacked, God uses it to give us a victory. Calvary gave us an ultimate victory over death and the grave. Would you turn to John, the 19th chapter? John 19 and verse number 1 says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put him on a purple robe, mocking him, and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.'" This is the truest statement in the entire Bible, because there was no... He was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin. Amen. "Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man.' When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.' And the Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God," or the flesh of God. Are we still being berated because we believe Jesus is God? We come against the resistance of those who think he's just a part of a Godhead or a Trinity. "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, 'Whence art thou?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, 'Speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?' And Jesus answered, 'Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath a greater sin.'" Don't you realize? Sickness has no power. Don't you realize? Bondage, habits have no power. But I can deliver anyone from anything, because I'm not subject to the rules of this world. It hurts me to read these scriptures because of the agony and pain that Jesus endured. And they're not read very often. And all I can do is thank him. I guess if you love somebody, I mean really love, not know about. Again, I keep saying this, but there are too many people who just take the book report. This is what it said. No. We're talking about a God that's alive and loves me, and I talk to him and he talks to me and I feel his presence. See, there's a difference. And all I can do is thank Jesus for enduring the mock trial, for being slapped in the face by people who hated him, for the crown of thorns that was pushed down on his head and the blood that ran. Thank you, Jesus, for enduring the mocking without a word in your defense, for the beating you took before the cross that I could be healed, for carrying your own cross to your own crucifixion. My God, thank you for the unimaginable pain and agony that you went through on this Friday 2,000 years ago, and thank you for not calling 10,000 angels to deliver you that I could have salvation. Amen. What I'm saying is thank you for your unbelievable love for me, because nothing else would have compelled you in order to do the things. You see, why does the father run into a burning building in order to get his kids? Because of love. That's what it is. Amen. And the best way to thank him is to lay our life down for him and in obedience to the Word of God. Yes, we come and we worship Him on Sundays and Wednesdays, but you know what? We're worshiping God every day by laying our life down and saying, no, I won't do this because it doesn't please you. I'll do this because it glorifies you. For the joy that was set before Him, the Bible said, He endured the cross. Well, what's the joy? It was there would always be a people who would live for Him, not on a part-time basis, but full-time. Amen. That we could conform to the image of all He does and all we become. It is the greatest thank you that there is. I just want to read a couple of scriptures. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. First Peter 3 and verse number 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And then if you go to Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, spiritual power, in due time Christ died for who? The ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth or exhibited His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, okay, here's the answer, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath or His anger. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son or flesh, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or reconciliation. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know what it's saying is, I don't have to die. I can have eternal life because You died on the cross. Amen. Not cheap salvation. Amen. I accept the Lord as my Savior. No, accept the whole book. Amen. Because the Word was made flesh. Amen. Accept what brings joy and comfort to our God. Amen. Amen. And thank God for, I don't know why it's called Good Friday, except it's good for me, but it's not good for Him. Right. And that we can celebrate Sunday, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we die, or we're raptured, this is not going to be the end. Amen. It's the beginning. I've done a number of funerals, and I've always said they shouldn't be called gravestone markers. They should be called beginning markers, because that's not the end. This is the very beginning. Some of you young people say, well, I've got plenty of time. I don't have to deal with this. I don't really have to be serious about this whole deal because, you know, when's that going to happen? You've been hearing it and hearing it. But you know, when 147 Christians are killed in one day because they're Christians, and we're seeing all of the terrorism that is going on, listen, God says, start to look up because your redemption draweth near. We're in a place where we may not have another week. And fear doesn't bring people to God, but a love for God will keep you. If you love Me, what did He say? You'll keep My commandments. Would you stand with me, please? There's a game we used to play when I was a kid. It was hide and go seek. We all tried to find the best hiding places we could. But the one who was assigned the find, he would yell out, ready or not,
true today. Ready or not, here I come. This is no time to play church. This is a time to be the church. Not because of the restrictions, because the joy that is set before us. Amen. That eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the imagination of the things that God is going to give those who he loves. We are living in the very best day that we could possibly be, because there are no restrictions for us that want to live for God. Cancer, get out of here. Amen. This is God's people. Amen. Heart disease, no. Amen. You can't come. Nothing can come to us except it crosses the desk of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he paid the price for us. Amen. They give us peace that passes all understanding. I'm not worried about the job tomorrow. I'm not worried, oh, mom had cancer. Well, don't worry about it. That's not your future. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So I know we're limited in time for some of you if you have to leave, but I think we ought to spend some time at the altar and see what God will. He spoke to us this morning and said, would you come? Thank you, Jesus.
You are always fighting for us. Heaven's angels all around. My delight is in the knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. Your presence, fear is silence, for you wear the victor's crown. In your glory, fill this temple, let your power.